As I was preparing for this week, I was thinking of historically different personalities that were great friends. I was thinking of being President's Day weekend, I was thinking of Abraham Lincoln, who put in his cabinet some of his chief political rivals, who then became strong friends. And then I decided I wouldn't go with that direction because I wasn't 100% sure that they were really all that friendly with one another. And then I came across, 3 years ago yesterday, Antonin Scalia passed. And 3 years ago, this coming Wednesday, was his funeral. And at his funeral, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg shared about the life of her best friend on the Supreme Court. Justice Ginsburg and Justice Scalia were in every conceivable way ideologically different. And yet, it was Antonin Scalia who sent Justice Ginsburg a dozen roses on her birthday every year and took her bowling for her birthday every year. And part of her comments were this at his funeral. He once responded to the question of how we could be such dear friends with such different views with the answer, I attack ideas. I don't attack people. Some very good people have some very bad ideas. If you can't separate the two, you'd better get another day job. They had very differing views and ideas, and yet he could easily separate the opinions from the person. And it made me think, in light of Paul and Barnabas here, how does God want us to handle what can be best classified as a personality conflict or a personality difference, an ideological difference? And the way that Paul and Barnabas interact in these verses can help us, even 2,000 years later, navigate these muddy waters when we come across people that we can't get along with. And so let's look at these verses. And unlike most times, I have one verse typically that just sort of applies to each point. Here the passage is so short that I have 3 points, and all the scripture is going to be here. But I encourage you not to focus on the scripture that's on the screen. Focus on the scripture that's in the scriptures in front of you, in the Bible in front of you. That way, when your conflict with a friend, a neighbor, a spouse, a coworker, a classmate comes to you, you can say, "Where was that again? Oh, yes, I remember." You can't come back to the screen. It won't be there. But you can come back to this and know where it is. The first thing is that everyone, even Christians, are motivated by personality. Everyone. Every single person in this room is to some degree or another motivated by your personality. And because that is true, you're going to have personality conflicts. Because not everyone, in fact, no one has your exact personality. No one has your makeup of the diverse experiences, education, economics, culture that you have. What makes you you is absolutely unique. Therefore, there is always going to be opportunity for personality conflict. If we look at Paul and Barnabas, Paul was motivated by his personality, and his motivation directed him in a certain way. Paul was an evangelist, someone who God had gotten a hold of, and his direction was mission. Verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Literally, and see what they have. He was not concerned about their well-being. He was concerned about what they remembered. And his goal was, let's go back and see if they are maintaining the faith. See if they are continuing the mission. Barnabas, on the other hand, had a different personality. And he was motivated by a different set of specific indicators. And he was directed in a different direction. Barnabas was an encourager. His name, his nickname, the son of encouragement. And he was not thinking about the mission. He was thinking about the man, John Mark in particular. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. He was thinking, he started with us, and for whatever reason he left. But Paul, as it says in verse 38, Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and did not continue with them in the work. So here in the work, here you have two personalities. One mission driven, one person driven. And Paul is saying the mission is priority. And we can't take this man because he is not committed to the work. And Barnabas is saying we have to take him because he might not be committed to the work, but I care about him. And I want to restore him. And I want to repair him. And I want to enable him and equip him and encourage him. And it would be easy for Paul or for Barnabas to break out the scriptures and say, well, here's why I don't want to take John Mark. Here's why we have to take John Mark. It is always a temptation to spiritualize our personality differences. We recently, as a church, went through a survey process where I asked the church to rank 6 different emphases of the church. And by and large, people chose the same emphases as priorities and decreased them. Part of that is because of the culture of the church. Part of that is personality. But nowhere are we suddenly to say, well, I believe that we should focus on worship above everything else because X, Y, Z. I believe we should focus on prayer above everything else because of this verse. I believe that we should focus on outreach. I believe we should focus on community engagement. I believe we should focus on instruction. I believe we should focus on outreach. And we all could come up with verses that would make our case for us. But the fact is that all of these things need to be done. All of these things are things that God has called us in His Word to do. God calls us to both missions and relationship with one another. Both of these men are right. And in our culture where we decide that there is a winner and a loser in everything, Paul and Barnabas would be doomed if they were ministering today. They would be the Paul side. They would be the Barnabas side. The Barnabas side would be having fellowship groups and coffee hours and small group Bible studies and all these wonderful things. And the Paul side would be doing evangelism and worship and big praise bands and telemarketing and televangelism and all these things. And the fact is that the church needs both Paul and Barnabas. So what do we do? Because we can't simply say, I'm siding with this guy, or I'm siding with that guy, I'm siding with this ministry, I'm not siding with that ministry. What do we do when we can't get along? Are we to fuss and fight and stomp our feet? Or are we called to figure it out together? And that's our second point, verse 39. Everyone, even Christians, need to address personality conflicts. Verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Paul and Barnabas knew that they could not serve together. Despite the truth that God had blessed their partnership immensely. Despite the fact that they worked well together, they knew that this was not something that was going to work. They could not simply bring the band back together one last show. And so they determined to deal with it by having a conversation. And that conversation ended up becoming a sharp disagreement. That word sharp disagreement is only two places in the scriptures. Here, and the word that's used in Hebrews 10:24. Now, Hebrews 10:24 is one of those verses that a lot of people memorize. And nowhere does it say sharp disagreement. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And that term, spur one another on, is the same word that's used here for sharp disagreement. Let's get under one another's skin. Let's irritate to the point of action. Because when you spur a horse, you kick it in the side with a little teeny pointy thing so that it'll move faster. And Paul and Barnabas here are kicking one another, getting under one another's skin, provoking one another. In the vernacular of today, they are triggering one another toward action. The mention of John Paul just gets under one another's skin. They are provoked. One is so provoked, you can't not go with him. He cannot not go with us. The other is, he definitely cannot go with us. They were both irritated. They were both provoked. They were both spurred. And so they agree to separate from one another. And again, Luke uses a word that is only used one other time in Scripture for separate from one another. This is not, if you read this in the NIV, they parted company. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Well, you know, they just decided to part company. What the Scriptures are inferring here is the word that's found in Revelation chapter 6, verse 14, which talks about this cataclysmic earthquake that splits the earth and shutters up heaven like a screen being rolled up, like a window shade being pulled. Doesn't call to me, oh, they parted company. No, this is, there was a cataclysmic, a seismic shift in the tectonic plates of the church that Paul was going one way and Barnabas was going another. Irreconcilable differences is what we would call it today. And it's the way Luke looks at it. If you were, after verse 39, to look up the word Barnabas in the book of Acts, there is another, how many chapters? 28 chapters. So there's another 13 chapters to the book of Acts. Barnabas is not mentioned a single time. Zero. It's as if Luke just forgets that direction. Paul doesn't. Paul mentions him a number of times, including a number of different references to their partnership together and how it was wonderful and how it was great and how people are in the model of Barnabas. But they don't mention, they don't work again together again in Scripture. There's no biblical record that they ever traveled together again. And the fact is that we can be tempted to sacrifice relationships due to our personality differences. And I don't believe that's what God desires. I don't believe that's what Paul and Barnabas model. Yes, they went in two separate directions, but they didn't speak badly about one another. They didn't dismiss one another. They just agreed to separate violently. When we trust God, we need to understand that He can still bless our division of labor if we rely on His direction. And that's the last thing we need to see here. Everything can be used by God, even personality conflicts. The remainder of this chapter, verse 39, part B, 40 and 41. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the church. So God doubles the direction. One group, Paul and Barnabas, sail east. They go back to Cyprus. It's where it all began. Barnabas took Paul to Cyprus. And there they spent 13 years honing and shaping and modeling and encouraging and rebuking and correcting and refining. Church tradition ultimately says that Mark went to the south after a time in Cyprus, and he ended up planting the church in Alexandria, which became a powerhouse of the early church. And many church fathers came from Antioch, from Alexandria. Also, Mark ultimately joined with Peter in Peter's missionary journeys. Mark ended up writing one of the Gospels. And so it wasn't as if Mark and Barnabas weren't used. They just needed time for refinement. Paul and Silas travel northeast. They go to Syria, to Syrian Antioch, and then they go to Cilicia. And then they go on to Corinth and Philippi and Galatia and Ephesus and Rome. Silas travels with Paul almost all of his remaining missionary journeys. So you start with two and others. And now you have four and others. But even that, God has a way of multiplying. By the end of chapter 15, two missionaries turn into four. 5 verses into chapter 16, they find another missionary, Timothy, who comes along. Now there's five. And even in looking at Timothy, and we'll look at Timothy next week, there is the, if we are to mistake that Paul was solely interested in missions, that is not true. Because the way he treats Timothy is almost identical to the way that Barnabas treated Paul and John Mark. Barnabas poured into men and Paul poured into Timothy. And then 11 verses into chapter 16, we see that another missionary, making it six, Luke begins to go on missionary journeys, because from chapter 16, verse 11, the pronoun that is most used to the remainder of Acts is no longer they, but we. We must never forget that God's hand is in the steps of the righteous. Even despite our personality conflicts, even despite our differences, God orders the steps of the righteous. So much so that Mark becomes a great minister of the gospel. As I said, traveling with Peter, writing one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry. He even receives a commendation of Paul, of Paul. Through the letter to the church in Colossae. That he says, oh, I wish that John Mark were here with me. Please send him if possible. Paul raises up an army of missionaries and evangelists, establishing churches throughout Asia Minor all the way to Rome. It's all because God works through everything, even our personalities. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God works through our personalities as he provides us opportunity to share the gospel. So, what about us? How do we apply these verses to our lives and to our relationships and to our ministries? Can we recognize that we are tempted to prioritize our personal preferences? Can we simply say, yes, I think I know what's best for me and for everyone else? And can we say that maybe we ought to keep that to ourselves at times? We ought to allow other people to have other opinions about how they think the world ought to be run. Because none of us are God. Can we recognize that God works even through these inevitable conflicts? That God can work through that person that irritates you. God does work through that person that irritates you. And that simple irritation may be something that God is using to make your service to Him and their service to Him greater. God wants us to work out His glory even when we have marital conflict or personality conflict or internal conflict, work-related conflict, school-based conflict, neighborhood conflict, justice conflict, everywhere. Everywhere we find conflict, God wants us to work it out. Just like Paul and Barnabas worked it out. Don't waste it. Wonder what God might do through it. God works through our personalities as He provides us opportunity to share the gospel. Shall we pray?